16 Minutes of Care is a podcast based on the CARE principles, a strategic framework that reveals how brands create impact by caring and, as a result, grow their business. In each episode, Isabel welcomes a company executive who explains how CARE has helped their business grow successfully and sustainably.
Matter Foods is a plant-based culinary alternative to meat, created both by chefs and microbiologists. Their fermented mushroom-based organic products are delicious and make you forget you ever wanted meat. I'm very happy to discuss more with Randy Walson, the CEO at Matter Foods, how to apply the CARE principles in a startup. Welcome, Randy, again.
Thank you.
Let's talk about the CARE principles. So I explained CARE stands for Care for Planet, Care for People, but it also stands for four shifts to do change and transformations deeper. CARE stands also for collaboration, agility, reliability, and empathy. We already talked in the first episode a bit about collaboration. How important is it to collaborate as a startup, and with whom do you collaborate, and what is the most valuable collaboration for you?
Well, as a startup, it's incredibly important, and I think it's actually very healthy to be driven out in some of these collaborations, because you don't have all the resources in-house to close yourself. We collaborate with universities, we collaborate with other startups, we collaborate with restaurants, we collaborate with individuals with crazy ideas. We collaborate all around, really, and that is one of the very valuable ways that we can both get inputs we need, but also get access to some of the resources that aren't available for us otherwise.
And what was for you in the 2 years that you've been working now at Matter Foods, what has for you been the most valuable collaboration that you say we really took the most out of that?
I think so far it's probably the collaboration with our customers that has been most important, and where we've learned a lot from taking our product into someone else's setting. Someone else's brand need to work in their operations, need to reach their customers in a good way, and we've had so many learnings from that, and from doing that not just by sending off a bill, but having a very, very close dialogue with them, being able to test different things in the collaboration. I think that's very valuable.
Ah, nice. I would like to talk about agility and link it to Care for People, your own people, your employees.
Yes.
There's only 15 of you, so it was easy for me to look at them, and I saw that a lot of them came from big corporations like yourself. Was it easy to convince them to come and work for a food startup?
Yes, it actually really was. It attracts both sides. It attracts people, the purpose of the company, I think more than being a startup as such, but the fact that we really mean business and that we do think we have an interesting product, a sustainable product, that attracts both people with some very impressive careers and resumes in established business, but also people at the very beginning of their careers with fresh ideas. Just that has been easier than you could have expected.
Having a purpose, is it important in business today, you believe?
Incredibly important. And I think it's not just a generation thing. I think there's been a lot of talk about, to attract the young, you need a purpose, but that's not true anymore. To attract anyone who really means business, you need a purpose.
You need a purpose today.
I think.
Yes. There's a lot of talk about purpose in marketing as well. There's a lot of what I call fabricated purposes.
Yes.
You've been there. How easy is it to understand if a company is having a real purpose or if it's just one for marketing use?
Oh, that's a good question. I think a lot of consumers can sense it. But I think it is actually not super simple to to communicate out your purpose in a very credible way, because there is so much noise. There's so many loud voices about purpose and achievements and care and sustainability and whatnot, that even if it comes from the bottom of your heart, it can be a little bit difficult, I think, to communicate in a credible way, even if it should be credible.
Totally. More than 43% of all communication around sustainability can be considered as greenwashing. So there is a lot of issues around that. So yeah, yes, totally. When we look at reliability, how important is it for a young and emerging company to be reliable?
I think it's very, very important. And I think especially now you sort of bring up the topic of greenwashing. I think we've actually seen a healthy development in the critical voices around greenwashing, where there's also questioning of the small startups, the ones who are sort of born with a green coat on. And I think that's right. I think even if you're small, you should also be able to document that what you're doing is truly sustainable, is truly right. And that's also why that's something that we've chosen to invest in, getting external validation, both of our footprint, but also of the health aspects of the product, because we think it's really important not just to think that it's good, but to be able to transparently and externally document that you can trust us when we say this.
But talking about these external validations or certifications, also that is very complex, because there's a lot of certifications that you can simply buy. There's a lot of labels, consumer labels, that is it really trustworthy? So it's a really very complex process. How can you give insights on how to navigate that? Who can we trust in these matters?
Oh, I wish I could. I share the skepticism. I've been working with this area for a long time, also in my previous career, and there is a lot of, let's just call it noise, out there. I think the key is to be as simple as possible, and to not overstate or brand yourself with 17 different labels. There are a few that people really rightfully do trust. Here in Denmark, for example, the organic certification isn't a private label. It is it's a state-controlled label. You can trust that when it's on, it's true, the practices are there behind it, and people do trust that. But you can see on all other labels, the trust sort of goes downward, right? Mm-hmm. I think we're not always helping people with all the claims and all the stamps.
Yes, it's not easy, and it's indeed a very complex world. And then let's move to E, the E of empathy. One of the social development goals from the United Nations that is important for you is the number 2, which is zero hunger. Mm. How do you show empathy for people with hunger in a very developed country with a product that has a higher price point for now? How do you do that?
Well, right now we're not solving hunger with our product. We couldn't be claiming to be doing that. But I think, as I also mentioned before, our vision is to create a product with a price point at the end of the day that could also become available via local production across the planet. And we're actually in the process of starting up a collaboration to explore ways to take our product and production process to Africa, specifically to Morocco, we're looking at right now, to see if there might be a way where we could translate our technology to local ingredients and local ways of processing. So also there you could be able to take some of those waste streams that are just as much there and create good food products from them. But we're early days in it, but it's such an ingrained part of our vision. So we want to explore that territory already now.
Mm. Yes, that's interesting. So if you would scale it, it would be always with local ingredients. Local ingredients is fundamental key element to the product.
Yes, we think it is, and I think that's back to trying to minimize footprint in all ways. I mean, if you create something made from soybeans that need to be flown in from Brazil, then you know it might still be better than beef, but it's not good enough, right? So that's why we've also said we haven't created a product. We very deliberately created a production platform or a technology platform that can be adjusted to local ingredients in different places. Mm. So you can use local resources.
Mm. Do you feel you're only available in Denmark for the moment?
Right now we're available in Denmark, and then via one of the restaurant collaborations we have, we're also available in London and Berlin with Sticks and Sushi, restaurants are called.
Oh, yes, okay. And do you feel like the demand is coming from restaurants and canteens, or is the demand coming from the end consumer who is pushing for a good alternative plant-based product?
I think both. I think there is a consumer group who are really asking for this, who are ready for this, but there is also a big group of chefs and restaurants who want something better to work with than what they have today.
Mm-hmm. And is the scaling only possible to do the fermentation process and the technology that you developed for that? Do that adapted to each country, or can you scale from Denmark with your 5 local ingredients?
We can scale to a certain extent from Denmark, but we're not going to be shipping to the entire world from Denmark. It does make sense with a certain scale in the production, and that's why you won't necessarily have a production site in each and every country. But for Northern Europe, Scandinavia, Denmark makes sense, but Denmark doesn't make sense for Italy or for China or for US when we get that far.
Yeah, okay. Why ultimately did the founders, who were, like I said, in big culinary names here in Scandinavia, why did they make Matter Foods? What was their...
Well, I think in many ways we come from different places but share the same vision that something really needs to be done to change the way we eat, to make it more sustainable, but also to make it more healthy. This was sort of a perfect meeting of people coming from science saying, oh, there's something really exciting that we can do with microbial fermentation. And people coming from the gastronomic perspective saying, we need something delicious, something real food, something juicy, tasty, something that can do all of this and doesn't feel like a secondhand alternative. So if we could meet both of those, if we could marry those perspectives, couldn't we do something exciting?
Mm, interesting, very interesting. I would like to go a little bit back to the care for the planet part. Care for people is as important, but the roots, the DNA of the brand are really in the sustainability part. What else do you do to try and lower your CO2 emissions, to try and lower your carbon footprint?
Well, we work very much with every aspect of the ingredients that we use, but then also with the packaging to try to make that as slim as possible. We initially went with, okay, this is going to replace meat. We're going to be in the same formats as meat, so you know people can recognize it and understand it. Until we said, hang on, maybe that's not necessary. Maybe we don't need that big plastic tray on it. Maybe we can do this in a completely different way, and we can. So we're coming out with a packaging format that has only 8 grams of plastics in it. and in that way sort of trying to look at all the aspects, and then as I mentioned just before, keeping it local as much as possible so you don't have a lot of unnecessary transportation in the mix also is an important way.
Is care for people and the whole healthy part of it, how important is that in your mission?
It is actually very important, because I think one thing is that I think it's completely absurd that we are using so much of our carbon footprint on our food, and at the same time the way we eat is the number one killer or sort of cause of a lot of the disease and death we have. So we need a revolution not just on the sustainability but also very much on the health, and the product we have here is actually very beneficial also on a lot of health aspects, both versus meat but also versus current plant-based alternatives.
Yes, it's true, a lot of food is killing people. That's absolutely true, and the more we eat the faster we die very often. So
yes.
Randy, what is your final advice regarding care for people, for a small company or for a big company? What tips and insights could you give on that level, just to round up this episode?
Well, I love that you have empathy as one of your core principles, because I think that is so important. Both, you know, inside a company, we're 15 people, but we're at least 8 different nationalities in that mix, right? And different religions and orientations and whatever. And that's, there's so much beauty and there's so much strength in that. If you take the time to understand what each one can contribute with and what's important for ourselves, right, and for each other. But equally, as a small startup, if you don't really, really care about understanding your consumers, we're not going to do the right things. We're not going to develop the right products, or we're not going to put them in the right packaging or communicate the right thing if we don't really understand what makes people tick. So I think empathy is really a key dimension, even on a cold business perspective, but it's a warm business perspective, isn't it?
It is, absolutely. I couldn't agree more. Thank you so much, Randy. I would wish you all the luck with the startup, and I'm really keen to have a taste of it and help you promote it in the rest of Europe.
Thank you very much.
Thank you so much. Thank you for those at home for watching. Thank you for listening. Make sure you follow the Care Principles online. Thank you and take care.
Want to create lasting impact with your brand while feeding sustainable growth? Check out thecareprinciples.com and see how we can help you. 16 Minutes of Care is an independent production from Isabel Verstraeten, brand strategist, founder of The Care Principles, and author of the book, Does Your Brand Care? Help us reach more companies who are looking for caring and sustainable growth by giving this podcast all the stars it deserves and by sharing it in your network. Thank you and take care.